Support for this KQED podcast comes from Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts, a part-time program offering adults the opportunity to earn a graduate degree in interdisciplinary study. Information session October 1st, mla.stanford.edu.
Good morning. I'm Queena Kim, and this is the California Report. Los Angeles became the largest city in the nation to roll out a body cam program for its police force yesterday. There's been a big push to get police to wear cameras since the Black Lives Matter movement, and when it's completed in 2 years, about 7,000 LAPD officers will be equipped with them. KPCC's Frank Stoltz reports.
LAPD officers will be required to turn on their body cameras whenever they're investigating a possible crime. That includes traffic stops, pedestrian stops, and virtually any response to a call for help. There are exceptions. Sexual assault victims, for example, can ask for cameras to be turned off. About 200 officers in the Northeast San Fernando Valley were the first to get the cameras. In the coming weeks, officers south of downtown and SWAT units will get them. In 2 years, all LAPD cops will have the cams, which the department is buying from Taser, the same company that makes stun guns. But don't expect to see much of the video. Mayor Eric Garcetti's police commission approved a policy allowing officers to watch body cam videos as they write their reports, but prohibits the public from ever seeing them. For the California Report, I'm Frank Stoltz.
California death row inmates can wait more than 30 years before they're executed. The question is, does that delay constitute cruel and unusual punishment? A federal appeals court is considering that question right now, and if it decides yes, it could upend the state's capital punishment law. The California Report's Scott Schaefer explains.
Last year, a federal trial court judge in Orange County issued a stunning decision, saying that California's death penalty was so dysfunctional that it no longer had any meaning, that rare executions were determined not by the severity of the crime, but by arbitrary factors, and that, he said, was unconstitutional. The state appealed, and Monday a three-judge panel heard arguments on both sides. Arguing for the state attorney general's office, Michael Mongan acknowledged that the process is a lengthy one, he said, to avoid mistakes.
We do not believe that there's any evidence, certainly not on this record or any that we're aware of, that this system is arbitrary or random or leads to random results.
But attorney Michael Lawrence, representing convicted murderer Ernest Jones, said appeals drag on because California refuses to fund enough attorneys for indigent death row inmates.
The average time it takes from start to finish in the state courts exceeds 20 years. I don't think it is a stretch to say that a system that produces such lengthy delays constitutes a gross malfunction in the criminal justice system.
Much of the hearing focused on technical issues, including whether this case belonged in federal court at all. Attorneys for the state argued that the condemned inmate must exhaust all his appeals in state court first. It's unclear where the justices will come down on that point. Santa Clara University Law School professor Ellen Kreitzberg said if the lower court decision striking down the death penalty is upheld, it will lead to many more lawsuits, even if it's appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Every person on death row in California will now raise the claim that the delay there, the whole process by which they are brought to execution in California, is unconstitutional, and these sentences of death should be converted to sentences of life without the possibility of parole.
In 2012, voters narrowly rejected a measure to ban executions. Death penalty opponents are considering another try next year. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
California's cap-and-trade program has brought in billions of dollars, and today, state officials are hashing out exactly how to spend that extra money. KQED's California politics and government reporter Marisa Lago says there are a lot of ideas, but no surprise, not enough cash to fund them all.
Restoring wetlands, making homes and ports more energy efficient, building homes that encourage less driving. These are just a few of the projects Democratic lawmakers and Governor Jerry Brown have floated as possible ways to spend the state's growing cap-and-trade fund. The money is collected through auctions where California businesses can pay to offset their greenhouse gas emissions. In all, the state has at least $2 billion it can spend through next summer.
The parameters of the cap-and-trade program were to use those revenues for things that will directly reduce greenhouse gas.
San Francisco Assemblyman David Chu says he would like to see a portion of the money go towards improving public transit. And he says local communities should decide what transit needs they have. But some communities may have more needs than others. Assemblywoman Autumn Burke represents a Los Angeles district that includes wealthier communities like Marina Del Rey and more working-class enclaves such as Inglewood. She says because low-income areas have taken the brunt of pollution, they should be first in line for dollars.
Honestly, it's parity. I just want to see equality. I have a district that's tremendously diverse, not just racially, but economically.
Of course, there's only so much money to go around, and only a couple of weeks to decide how to spend it. Again, Assemblyman David Chu.
So if it's in the Central Valley and thinking about investing in weatherization projects or in energy efficiency in buildings, to our urban areas with their significant and deep transit needs, to building more parks around the state, you know, there are different ways in which we can meet these needs.
Legislative Republicans say the cash should be funneled to more basic needs, improving roads and highways. That's something State Senate Leader Kevin DeLeon, a Democrat, says would be illegal.
You'd have litigation almost immediately because there is no nexus with regards to carbon reduction of GHG and other criteria pollutants and filling a pothole. So it's not a serious proposal.
Approving a plan to spend the cap and trade money will only take a simple majority of both houses, so Democrats can do it alone. But first, they have to come to consensus and get Governor Jerry Brown on board, all before the legislative session ends next Friday. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, September 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Quina Kim. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. More at irvine.org. Bayer, a Bay Area biotech company bridging lab research and advanced manufacturing to benefit patients. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.